to welcome Smokey and Kay. They're part of our family all the time, but it's just a special event when a brother gets to share the pulpit. Smoke's an old-time pastor. He's been around a long time. He knows us so well. So we invite him into our pulpit with fear and trepidation, trusting only in the Spirit of God to deliver something absolutely great.
Does that mean I have Alzheimer's or something?
I don't know. I'm going to sit close to the front. If he stumbles around, I'll jump in here. We'll sing a song.
Eh? What's that?
Bless you.
All right. Okay. Now, Tom, don't give him any hints. This comes from, and I can be in deep trouble here if anything happens to the thing I'm going to show you. Okay, but hold on. Now, some of you will know. Others of you won't have any idea at all. Here it is. Now, I can't tell you how I would even know about this, but I thought at first it was a hookstra or something like that? Hookama? Oh, you know. Okay. But it's not. And I looked at it, and tell me your first impression. You just look at it. If you know what it is, don't tell, but look at it. What's your first impression? What's that? An award? This is yours. Any other first impressions?
A lava lamp.
Yeah, I remember lava lamps because you see the little things in here, right? What else? What else do you see? Temperature? Okay, well, you're cheating, guys, because you have an insight into this. Ah, okay, well, my wife says she doesn't. You know what I thought at first? I thought, gosh, it was sitting, you know, it was in the sun. I thought it ran the clock, but it doesn't. I mean, I did. I thought that's probably what it did. But it's right. These little bulbs tell the temperature. Depending on the temperature, the one that comes to the top, which says at the top right now is 82 degrees. Now, if you're freezing in the pew, you probably don't believe that. But it's because I'm holding it and I'm so warm-hearted. And then you see this red stuff down here? That's the barometric pressure. So the higher it gets, the more chance of rain. So beach time, see, at least in here. Now, the interesting thing, and what I want to say about this, is this thing is a lot more complicated than it looks at first. And it's a lot like Scripture. So whatever you focus on may be what you see. So you get a passage of Scripture, and you read it, and it somehow impacts your life, and you think, well, that's what that scripture means. Now, my grandfather was in ministry all of his life, and I've known a number of ministers, and almost all of them will tell you this. They're always amazed that they could read the same passages of scripture and get something different out of it that they never saw before. So my grandfather in his 90s would say, I've never seen this before. So one of the things I want to do this morning is for us to look at a couple of scriptures that we have determined that we understand, but I'd like to look at them in context. Because if you look at this in context, you can see, okay, these things are floating at the top. They have little things like degrees on them. That must mean that it's temperature. And so keep this in mind. If you want to take it home with you, just tell Chip later. And meanwhile, I don't want to break it. All right. So one of those scriptures that we read today was in Jeremiah. And let me go back to that one for just a second and read it to you again. Just the one verse, Jeremiah 29:11. Now, my wife and I read a lot of books. By the way, our library is wonderful. You should all go, and when you had your own personal your own personal devotions, your own personal Bible study, it is awesome to be able to pick up a good book that's Christian-based and to read it and to enjoy it. Well, one of the people that we read is Karen Kingsbury. And every one of her books includes this verse, it seems. It's Jeremiah, it's got to be her favorite verse. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that great? Now, in all the books that Karen writes, this verse gives hope for the immediate. In other words, there's some crisis that people are going through. The verse is quoted to say, okay, you're going to make it. You're going to make it through. Now, and that's exactly what this verse means. But if you take it into context, listen to it. Listen to it in context. For instance, if you look at the verses just before, my pages stick together here. It says, for thus saith the Lord, when 70 years have been completed. Now, you have to understand that a lifespan back then was about 40 years. So over almost two generations are going to live through this before this happens. In other words, the people who are hearing this for the first time will not see it. They're going to have to take it by faith. It won't make the problems go away. He says the problem's going to be here. And there are a couple of interesting things about the problems that are going to be there. He says, you know what? You need to settle in and just realize and trust me, my timing is good. Trust me with the timing. Or as Kay's devotion yesterday was reading where it says, you know, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Yet when we come to Scripture, a lot of times we kind of have the temptation to want to tell God what he should do or what he should think. Or, have you ever done this? Lord, you can't do that this way. And I tell you, honest to goodness, I am sure glad that God didn't answer some of my prayers the way I wanted him to. Aren't you? Because he did a much better job of it. But there's a couple of things I want you to see. One of them is that God is faithful in his word to do everything he promised to do. But look at it in the full context. Now, there's such a thing, there's a way of looking at the word where you read something and it applies to you personally, something you're going through. I may have shared with some of you, and maybe even from this pulpit, that on one occasion in reading through the Bible in a year, I came across a passage of Scripture that says, I love you and you're precious in my sight. And now that's what he's saying to his people and for a specific period of time. But I had just prayed the night before that I said, God, I know you love me, but I need to hear you say it. Now, there's a big, it's not a big word, but a technical word that they use. It's called rhema. It means that the word is a special word that God applied to you. It's not at odds with the overall interpretation and context. In other words, it's consistent with it, but the application comes to you. So the verse is a great verse, and it's one that it would be wonderful to memorize, but realize that it's going to happen when it happens in God's timing. The other thing that I want you to recognize is that they're in captivity. Now, there could be an argument made that, in a sense, America is in captivity, or reaching the place where it may even get worse than it is. We're in what they call a post-Christian era, and I didn't believe that. But, you know, some of your grandchildren don't have a clue who Daniel was or is. And if it used to be, you could stand in the pulpit and say, Samson and Delilah. Hey, everybody knew that. You can't do that anymore. That basis is not there. We're in a time when it seems like that Christians are coming under persecution, and we go, oh, my gosh, and we forget that in the teaching of Scripture, it says, all those who seek to live godly lives will suffer persecution, except if you're an American, or except if, you know, if you're in Cape May. All, everyone, total, without exception, if you really are wanting to live a godly life, there are going to be people who are going to be mad at you. And we're seeing that, aren't we? I mean, I remember when you used to be able to say in an establishment in your business, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. Can't do that anymore. You got the baker in Colorado who said, you know what, I'm not saying you can't get married, but I just really can't make your wedding cake. And if a ruling goes against him, at worst, he could get jail time for that, for discrimination. Or the photographer, it was the same thing. It was a photographer it's not the same place, but similar to it. And I could go on and give you lots of examples of it. But what it says in these verses is this. It says, Go ahead and live your life one day at a time, and trust me. Build your houses, get married, give your children in marriage. Trust me. And listen, he says, pray for the government. And so our response is, and I don't know where you are politically, but if you happen to be an advocate for the present administration, then you pray accordingly. But if you don't agree with them, pray for them anyway. Because it says, pray for those who are in leadership over you. It's also in Romans. And so I don't happen to agree. My political persuasion is I don't happen to agree with the direction the president has seen fit to be leading our country. But I pray for him. I pray that God would use him, even if it happens to be in spite of himself. I pray for his safety. Because God allowed him to be in leadership. And it's not a matter of whether I like him or not, or whether I agree with him or not. He is in leadership, and I need to pray, and we need to pray, that God would use him to accomplish his purposes, God's purposes, in the long run. But we need to be praying for those things that we see need to be done in our country as a whole. Many of you are concerned about Common Core, and I was just told that they're going to vote, I guess, tomorrow. Is that what you said? On whether Common Core is going to be used. Those of you who are teachers are more familiar with this, probably. A curriculum that is nationally encouraged, which, again, my personal thinking is fatally flawed, but that's my opinion. But we need to pray, again, because the minds of our kids and the future of the country are really going to be reflected by this. So my point is, what he's telling them is, you can trust me that it's going to work out for good, but it may not happen tomorrow. There's another verse of Scripture that says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. And that's what we need to do. Be faithful to God and stick with it. But another one is the verse that you gave in that very familiar language. Now, how many times have you seen fit to claim that verse? And we know that God causes everything, all things, to work together for good to those who loved him and are called according to his purpose. Now, we tend to claim that verse when we're in crisis. And somebody who says, okay, so somebody has their family has just been involved in an automobile accident. Two of the family members are killed. There's an infant who survives. And somebody walks up and says, well, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't work. I mean, the verse is still true. But the pain, the sorrow is so overwhelming. And if I had to pick a title, Chip, when he invited me to speak, it came at a very difficult time for me, a very busy time. And it happened that the secretary was going to be leaving early, so I didn't get Alden Dean the Bolden. But the title I probably would have chosen is Through It All. Because what God promises, and this is where I want you to stick with, through it all, he will be with us. You remember Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will walk through. Why will I fear no evil? Because, in the King James, thou art with me. You're with me. We're not alone. And that's what I want you to see. That's what I want you to hear. God doesn't promise to prevent or remove tragedy. Sometimes he does, but he doesn't promise to do that all the time. But he does promise to be with us through it. Now, you remember that song, Through It All? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned I can depend upon the Word of God. So he says, you know, if I didn't have problems, I would never know that God could solve them. I would never know what faith in God could do. And he allows us to go through things. It's a world that he's redeeming. It's a world which we can have, which he said we can help him do. We can help him. But what he says is, in this world, there are going to be challenges. There's going to be sorrow. There's going to be pain. It's because the world has rejected me. But what I have done is redeemed you, and so that you can know without a shadow of a doubt is you will make it through. Not only will you make it through to tomorrow, you'll make it through to heaven. for eternity. And many of these problems will be fulfilled when you're in the presence of the Lord. Some of my friends in ministry believe that God wants to heal and does heal every person who has enough faith. And you know what? I agree, but I disagree. I agree, because ultimately there is no pain, there is no suffering, there is no death in heaven. Everybody will be healed there. Some God heals here. So we always pray saying, Lord, that's why I prayed the way I prayed in the prayer. Lord, we want them to live. We want them to be whole and healthy. We want everything fixed. We love them. So we honestly, God says all the time, tell me what's on your heart. And I want to know. And trust me, because I will do what's best. But we may not at all understand it or how it fits together. Even in this passage, when he says all things work together for good, do you know what the real theme is? For instance, if you look at the whole instrument, the barometric pressure, the temperature, the clock, when you put it all together, while there are lots of applications from individual parts of it, you know what he's saying? He's saying God has put into motion your adoption as children who will be with him forever. And everything that happens will work together for your good because he's called you according to his purposes. And if you're one of those that he's called, then you know who you are. And some of you he's calling today, by the way. And when you hear that, remember this. What he's saying is everything that happens to you will benefit you for eternity, even though you may not understand it now. Is that, you understand? I mean, you not feel good about it, but do you understand? Because in the West, we have this thing where you kind of think, like, if I claim this promise, then I'm going to get it tomorrow. And if God doesn't do it the way I think he ought to do it, then God has let me down. In one of those books from the library that I just finished, called Unspoken, by the way, D. Henderson, there is a quote. And this lady was kidnapped. And she was in captivity from about 15 and for about 4 years. And there are a number of things that happened during that time. But this is her quote from page 384. She says, I figured out part of my problem with God. I don't know what I can trust him to do. I thought I could trust him to keep me safe, and he didn't. I thought I could trust him to answer my frantic pleas to save a baby's life, and he didn't. I just don't know what I can absolutely trust him to do. Now, I want to tell you, I want to answer that question. You can absolutely trust him to walk with you through it. You're not alone. Never alone. He'll walk with you through it. So now let me look at a couple of things that go along with this. So I've already dealt pretty much with, not in detail, in Jeremiah 29, but I wanted you to get a feel for that passage. So if these promises are there in context, if they're for eternity, what does that say about now? Let me give you a couple of things that go along. Paul, for instance, is a good illustration of what I've been saying to you. He made it through a lot of things, but he didn't live forever. He died. And he says this, and you know this verse really well, and let me just reflect on it. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and following. He says, we're pressed on every side by troubles. Ever feel that way? But we're not crushed. We're confused, perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but we're not abandoned. God doesn't leave us. He's with us. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. And then in verse 10, he says, through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. And then in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and following, that's why, what's that about? I'm really catching on this part where it says that Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. So in my mind, the connection is here. That's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, listen, our spirits, the essence of our being, the heart of it all, the center, our core, our spirits are being renewed every day. Now, my dad has a saying, the older he gets, you know, I talked to him on the phone. He says, well, I saw the doctor, and basically he told me that the motor is working fine, but the chassis is falling apart. But our mind is being renewed daily as we walk with him through it all, as heavy as it may be, as challenging as it may be. Through it all, our bodies, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles, listen, are you listening? For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Now you say, mine aren't small. Well, compared to hell, they're small. And compared to eternity, they're very short. And eternity is what God has promised you to have a place with him now and for eternity. Yet, he says, they produce those troubles, those trials. They produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Heaven. I consider the sufferings of this present time aren't worth comparing with all the glory that's going to be revealed later. So hope. I have plans for you, and I have a future for you. You guys are going to come on home. You're going to come home to the house that I prepared for you. You're going to heaven, and we're going to be together. And I promise you, everything that's happened is going to help prepare you for that. I'm not preparing you to live forever in this sinful, broken, crooked, wretched world where all these bad things happen. The whole reason I sent my son Jesus was so no matter how bad it gets, it won't keep you from me. If you'll just hold my hand, if you'll just say yes to me, we can work together, and through it all, you'll find the rest and the peace and the future. You won't be in captivity to this limited world anymore. But while you're here, build your houses, live your lives, marry your children, honor me, pray for the government. As they prosper, you'll prosper. And when the time is right, you're going to be set free. And you won't have to worry about this anymore. Hey, guys, I'm old enough to know that sciatica happens and there it won't be. Hallelujah. Now, to you folks who are young, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But you hear all those people laughing? They know. But God has a future for you too, no matter how, and a present. And his presence in the present makes life all the richer, even though there's tragedy, even though there's sorrow. You can trust him. Now, listen to this. Where is God in it all? At times, he seems so far away. A million or more miles, it seems. Maybe today. It feels so dark, so heavy, so filled with sorrow, so filled with pain. Where's God? Now, Chip was in Romans 8, so I'm going to give you some things again from Romans 8. But again, it's like looking at that little thing. Look at it from this perspective, okay? You remember this from Romans 8 in verse 26? It says, I'm going to just read part of the verse. The Holy Spirit, listen, helps us in our weakness. Stop there. Because we always really apply this verse by reading the next part, which he prays for us. He helps us in our weakness. Where's God? He's right here. What's he doing? Holy Spirit's helping us. That's God helping us where we're weak. And we can trust him. He's helping us there. For example, it says, we don't know what God wants us to pray. Even though you haven't lost your faith at the moment, sometimes isn't it hard for you to pray? It is for me. Doesn't matter if you're a minister or not a minister. Doesn't matter how long you've been a believer. There's sometimes I just don't know what to say. I'm overwhelmed. You don't know what to say. You don't know where to start. So the second part of the verse, so the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings too deep to be expressed. And the Father who knows all hearts listens to what the Spirit's saying, and he says for us, he prays for us in harmony, in sequence, in right lined up with God's perfect will. And then that's followed by this. If you're wondering where it came from, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. When they're helpless and don't know what to do, when they don't know how to pray, they can trust God. You can trust God. We can trust God. Okay? What do we say, then, about such wonderful things as these? Here are the things we can say. Now, listen. God is for us. Who can be against us? If God says, I've opened heaven for you, who's going to keep you out? If God says, I forgive you, who's going to nail you to the wall? If Jesus says, I died for you, I died and I took away your sins, who's going to blame you for anything? He's saying, this is why you can trust me through it all. Because nobody's going to keep you from eternity with me, from heaven. Since he didn't spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else that we need to make it through? Now, if all you do is look at the problem, you'll never think you're going to get through. Now, we go to Pittsburgh every now and again because that's where Kay was raised. We go through several tunnels. Now, when you enter the tunnel, at least for me, one of the first things I begin to look for is the light on the other end. Right? In other words, I want to get through it all the way. And then I've seen enough of these, movies where the things collapse or they have a wreck in the middle of it. I'm happy to make it through it all the way. But God causes all things to work together for good and will see us through it. So here's what Jesus did. He died for us. He'll give us everything else that we need. We can trust him. He died for us, setting us free from the darkness. He died setting us free from the sorrow, from the pain, not to be captive by it, but be able to endure it. And you know where he is now? It says here, he raised him to life for us. And he's sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand. But do you know what he's doing? He's doing the same thing the Holy Spirit's doing. What's that? He's interceding. My translation, when I did this, says he's pleading for us, praying for us, interceding for us before God. So here we got God praying for us. We got Jesus praying for us. They know exactly what God's will is. That's why we can make it through, even though we don't know how to pray and don't know what to say, don't know where to start. Sometimes it's hard to see all the plans he has for you. So choose to put your trust in knowing that he died to set you free and you're on your way to freedom. The Holy Spirit's helping us, praying for us. Jesus died for us. He's pleading for us. So where's God? Right there with you in the midst of whatever you're walking through. It was not what you planned, maybe. It was not what you hoped for. But God is there. And he'll help you through. He'll help your children through. Last time I spoke, a lot of you said, I'm glad that you said that God will make a way because I'm concerned for my kids. Well, you know what? Your kids are in God's hands. The Holy Spirit knows your heart, and he's pleading and praying for them just as you are. And he's going to give them every opportunity for freedom, every opportunity to respond to him. He will not leave them unless they don't want him. And that's the same privilege he gave to me. He didn't make me accept him. But he gave me the opportunity, and he will them. Our prayer is that they will serve him. Jesus again said, I'll never leave you, I'll forsake, never forsake you. Lo, I am with you. How often? Always. How long? Until the end of the age. you have no fear of being left. Well, let me give you some conclusions. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? That sounds almost like Scripture, doesn't it? It is. I'm still reading from the same chapter. Can anything separate us from God's love, from His plan? What? Can we get a little diverted? We can, but God can't. So no, the answer is no. Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Come on. Does it? No. That's not what it means. He loves us still. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus, who loved us and died for us. For I'm convinced that absolutely, positively, nothing can separate, ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life. Our own death or one of our loved ones' death. I had a sister who died at 18 months, whooping cough. God knows that life is temporary. He can be trusted through it. Neither angels nor demons. Now, the angel part, I understand. The demon part ought to be liberating for you. Satan cannot do anything that God does not allow him to do. And when he allows him to do it, there are barriers that keep him from going in excess. And the only way Satan can take advantage of you is if you let him and give him something to work with. They can't separate you, though, from the love of God. He will still love you. Neither fears for today, nor worries for tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God that God's revealed to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, what can you do? As He gives you grace, with all that's in your heart, praise Him. Give Him praise. Or you can say thank Him. Not thank Him that the things are happening, but thank Him that He's with you and will see you through. In all things, give thanks that He's with you and will see you through. This is the will of God and Jesus Christ concerning you. Sing. When my mother died, I was in my early 20s. And I can remember distinctly today that the way He helped me through was through music. Now, for years, they've turned off my microphone when we sing. I don't know why, but they just turned it off. But you know what? That's a lie. I do know why, because one time I listened to a tape. Wasn't pretty. Okay, but music can touch the soul in a way that words, just words spoken, can't. And there was a choir that was singing at the time. And they sang, really it was just a scripture passage, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. And that was the whole song, variations of that. And I found the peace. So my encouragement is through it all, let your heart sing. Thank Him, praise Him, and trust His word. Trust His word, and He'll see you through. And He will be with you, and He'll bring you safely home forever.